Today's mailbag comes to us from Jenna. I just wanted to send a quick note to thank Lisa for her candidness on the planning day. I work from home and I have 3 children. Dinner has always been a source of anxiety for me. Until this planning day, even though I've heard Lisa say that she doesn't cook many times before, it finally clicked. I don't need to try to force the meal planning. I have adjusted my planner and my budget and let my husband know that on the nights that I am supposed to cook, I will be ordering in or heating up something that he meal prepped ahead of time for us. Preparing meals, which should be simple, just takes up so much of my energy worrying about whether it will turn out okay or getting distracted with other things that I want or need to get done. It is so freeing to get Lisa's okay to plan to neglect that without being less of a wife or a mom. I just wanted to say thank you.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So last week, I left you with the cliffhanger that this week we were going to talk about how Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing. What do you think about that? Like when I said that, what did you think? Well, I think Marie Kondo is awesome. Let's just start with what she has done to raise and elevate the discussion of organization and decluttering in the media, the memes, the whole, she's awesome. She's great. So this is not an anti-Marie Kondo podcast in any way. But there are a lot of things that when you follow the Marie Kondo way of organizing that I just want to discuss. So let's start it. So number one, the reason why I say that Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing is because, first of all, let's just be clear. I never did the Atkins diet. I mean, I read about it a lot. I did a lot of passive Atkins diet thinking. But I think I might have even done the Atkins diet for like one day. You guys, the headache. I mean, anytime I go on any carb-restricted kind of diet, like I get migraines. Like, I don't need to voluntarily give myself some. Even whatever the healthcare benefits are, I'm not willing. That pain is greater than the pain of whatever that kind of diet is going to give me. Remember last week when I talked about in passive organizing? The pain of where you are today has to be greater than the pain of whatever the thing is that will help you break through to whatever you're looking for. So in this case, for the actual Atkins diet, like I could never do it. Like I researched it, read the book, listened to the podcasts for like a couple of weeks. And I was like, I might have tried it for a day. I know I've tried other low carb diets. They don't last for me. Like my body runs on carbs. It should run on less carbs. I have reduced the amount of carbs that it runs on, but it definitely, definitely runs on carbs. So the idea of an Atkins diet is like you get really quick results, like really quick results. And that's exactly what happens when you do a Marie Kondo tidy, like really quick results. It's not like a workbook you have to fill out in advance. Like, no, you take everything out of your closet and then basically you have to get rid of everything that's not going to go back in the closet. Very little goes back in the closet, like very quick results. You have to do that with your whole house, and Americans have really big houses. Australians are the only country that has, on average, larger homes than Americans. Australians, if you didn't know that. Americans have pretty big homes. Japanese, not so big of homes, just saying. So when you do the Marie Kondo TV show in America, very different than doing it in a Japanese home. And also in Japan, their rooms are multifunctional. So their kitchens actually function as something different when you're not eating. Like, everything is multifunctional over there. In America, we're like, we'll build a she shed
so that we can work out in a she shed instead of inside of our house in a spare bedroom and leave that spare bedroom as a guest room that like somebody sleeps in once a year, maybe. Like, we have multiple multi-functioning rooms. I mean, like kind of multi-functioning rooms, but not like the Japanese do. So to Marie Kondo, a Japanese home versus an American home, two totally different stories, which is why when you watch the Marie Kondo TV show, there's so much stuff. There's so much stuff. Oh my goodness, we're really good pack rats, aren't we? Like, we could just shove things everywhere. And when you have to pull all of that out and you have to go through it all at one time, oh, you definitely get a headache. So Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing because you do get really quick results because it's a lot of work. You go from the way you were living, you know, me eating onion rings, to the Atkins diet where like you can have the onion. Not as tasty, let me just tell you. But you get really quick results. It's a lot of work, get really quick results. Second way in which the Marie Kondo is the Atkins of dieting is the one-size-fits-all approach. So even if you've never done the Atkins diet, you already know what I'm talking about because you can't have any carbs. Like, you can have, like, bacon. Bacon sounds good. I'm pretty sure you can have that on the Atkins diet. And so when you do the Marie Kondo magic art of tidying up, there is a prescriptive, this is exactly how you do it. On the chapter for paper, you're just supposed to get rid of all of it except for three little folders that you're going to have somewhere like on a kitchen counter or something. I'm like, you can't be an American and have three folders of paper. That's not going to work. As I've said before, Grayson, my grandson, he's one. He was born and immediately got two pieces of paper that he needs to keep track of for the rest of his life. His birth certificate and his social security card. He already has a little binder, more paper. He's a toddler and he has paper. In Japan, birth certificates are digital. You can literally get rid of all your paper in Japan. You have no problems. Go try to get a compliant driver's license so that you can fly on an airplane in the United States. You need to have your social security card. You don't need your birth certificate anymore, I don't think. You do need to have a bill for the residence that you live in inside of that state. That's the hardest one for us right now, actually. Like, my kids keep going to get their driver's license and coming back home and having to go the next day because we didn't send them with enough paperwork. You need like three or four different kinds of paper when you go get a driver's license renewed. It's not like you haven't had a driver's license before. We already have a driver's license. To get it renewed, you need that many pieces of paper in the United States. We're not a paperless society. I don't know what to tell you. So the one size fits all of that book, speaking of books, you're reading a book called The Magic Art of Tidying Up. Yet when you get to chapter on the book, remember, you're supposed to get rid of all your books, which I did. I did. Over the last 11 years, I used to have so many books. I had bookshelves in every single room in my house and two in my storage room, multiple bookshelves. In the basement, I had three, two in the storage room, one in another closet, two in the living room, two in the family room, one in my bedroom, one in my office. So many bookshelves. I was in a homeopathy kick. I had over 40 homeopathy books, some that I had gotten from India. Yeah, all I have now is the Materia Medica, and I don't do anything with homeopathy. But at one point, I had a whole bookshelf devoted to just books on homeopathy. And I read The Magic Art of Tidying Up, and I became a professional organizer, and I did all these things. And so I want to be a good organizing person. And they say to get rid of your books, and you can have them on Kindle. I'm like, okay, fine. So I got rid of almost all of my books except for my Bibles. Regret it. I regret it. And now I've put two floor-to-ceiling, custom wide, they're like 42 and 45 inch wide bookshelves in my living room, floor to ceiling, filled with books. And I said to Greg, I want more. I want more of these huge custom bookshelves. And I think back to Benjamin Franklin. Why do we know everything that he said? Because he printed it on a printing press, created libraries. Carnegie started libraries. People get information and knowledge from libraries. Why in the world did I get rid of my books? Now, I want to go back and buy all the books that I've already read. I have over 200 Audible books that I've listened to in the last 5 years. And I want to also have all of those in regular books because it's so much faster for me to find information. And here's my new thing that I want to do. I highlight in books all the time, but now that I'm used to thinking in colors and we have the Organize 365 2.0 highlighters, when I'm reading, I want to start highlighting in the color of the information. So if I'm reading a business book and it's an idea, I should highlight it pink. If I'm reading a business book and it is about growing your team or your professional development, I should highlight it blue. If it's financial, I should highlight it green. See where I'm going with this? Oh my gosh. I like want to go back through all the books I already have. And then sometimes I let people borrow my books and I accidentally, because I usually have more than one copy, let them borrow the one that's highlighted. Ugh. That drives me crazy because I always want to be able to see my books that I have highlighted. I love books. So I'm an American. I'm going to have paper. I'm a knowledge seeker, researcher, creating my own PhD for myself person. I love books. I want to have a lot of books. So Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing because it's great. You get this quick win. You get rid of all of this excess weight in your house because you've decluttered it all. But I don't know. Have you ever tried those non-carb diets? It's just not as fun. It's just not as filling. You're like, okay, well, the fun is gone. Like, I really want to have my paper. Really want to have my books. There's a one size fits all. Doesn't allow for fun. Which leads to the third way, in which Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing because it's so restrictive. Like, Marie Kondo's book does not lend itself to you thinking your own way. Like, here's a suggestion and here's an alternative way of doing it. No, it's very prescriptive. This is how you do it. This is how you live a tidied life. You should follow this rule. If you don't do it, you know what happens? You're not getting an A. And I want to get an A. Like, I want to get an A. That's why I got rid of all my books, because I wanted to do it right. Get rid of all your clothes, get rid of all your books, get rid of all your paper. And then I like stuff. I'm very organized, but also I like stuff. Like, I can't do the capsule wardrobe thing because I like clothes. I don't have a ridiculous amount of clothes, but I definitely don't have a capsule wardrobe amount of clothes. So any of those things, capsule wardrobe, Marie Kondo tidying up book, those ways of organizing give you an end, even like the home edit. Gives you an end picture of what your organizing is supposed to look like at the end. It's supposed to not have a lot of stuff. It's supposed to be all rainbow ordered. It's supposed to be whatever. And so then if your organizing at the end isn't rainbow organized, you have 35 pieces instead of 33 pieces in your capsule wardrobe. You kept your books and your paper when you did the Marie Kondo thing. You know how I feel when I'm done with that? Or you do Atkins and you do add some carbs in. I'm like, okay, well, but I didn't really do it. I didn't really get an A. I didn't do exactly how I was supposed to do it. We want to get an A, don't we? Like, we want to say, okay, here's how you do it. I will do that. And then when we make a decision in our own life with our own stuff, with our own body, our own items, our own whatever, we're like, okay, I do have rainbow organized books because I think they're fun. I think it's really, really fun to have your books rainbow organized. But also, I have a photographic memory, and any book that I've ever read, I could tell you the color of the book. So it's really easy for me to find books and to know if I own the book or not. If you don't have a photographic memory and you don't think in color and you don't know the color of every book you've ever read that you own, it would be a nightmare if your books were rainbow. They'd be adorable, but no. Also, I did see on one of the home edit shows, they rainbow organized board games. Frankly, that is brilliant. You know the Monopoly box is white. You know the apples to apples is red. Brilliant. I think that is a genius organizing system. Rainbow organized game boards. I think that is genius. But I'm not going to pretty much rainbow organize anything else except my closet. And it's not totally rainbow organized because I don't like to mix my short sleeves with my long sleeves and my shorts with my pants. Like, I like to sort my closet by season, and then I could do somewhat rainbow organizing, but let me just tell you the whole rainbow. Black, white, navy, pink. It's the whole rainbow that I have in my closet. There's a tiny bit of red. There's one green sweater. That's my entire closet. Hot pink, light pink, white, navy, black, a little bit of red, one green sweater. That's my entire closet. That's not a rainbow. That's a color palette maybe, but it's not a rainbow. So it's too restrictive to get an A. That's why Atkins will work to get you started. But then like Weight Watchers, that's something that you could do for the rest of your life. But Atkins, no, you cannot do it for the rest of your life. Like, you can get your house tidied, but can you maintain it to that level for the rest of your life? Maybe, like, some people can. I can't, because I like stuff too much. I like books too much. I like papers too much. It's too restrictive. And then the fourth way in which the Marie Kondo system is like the Atkins diet of organizing is that it does not last if you stop. It doesn't last if you stop. So if you do an Atkins diet and then you have pizza the next day, it's not going to work for you, right? Like, then you have to go through the headache again to get back to the whole thing. Yeah, to get the keto. But I mean, I know all about it. I've read, I've researched. I'm not doing it, but I know a lot about it, even though I haven't done it. Does this mean that the Atkins diet is bad, or the Marie Kondo tidy is bad, or rainbow-fying your life like the home edit is bad? No, absolutely not. Not at all. Heck, it's great. Like, and if you like it, works for you, that's absolutely great. But if you want to learn the skill of organizing, learning a skill is about understanding how and why you want to get organized, in what phase of life you're in what order you want to do it, and then making decisions that become rules, that become habits, that allow you to have less decision-making fatigue so that you feel like you're getting an A. So the Marie Kondo tidy is a great quick win and a great place to start, because you do get rid of so much stuff. You declutter so much stuff. But if you keep doing the Marie Kondo way and you're not a natural minimalist person, if you're a minimalist person, it's going to be perfect. But if you're like me and you kind of like quite a bit of stuff and you're a little bit of a rebel, so you want to have like crafts and all the things that I want to have, then you need to take that quick grin and say like, okay, I have gotten started on my organizing journey. I have reduced the weight of a lot of the stuff that's in this house. And now I'm going to move on into organizing, like learning the skill of organizing, asking myself better questions, organizing versus continuing to declutter. If you stay in the decluttering mindset, if you continue to declutter, what will happen is you over declutter because you want the organized feeling. And then you end up with not enough, and then you feel lack, and then you actually just go out and buy it all again. The opposite of that would be the home edit, where you're like, I'm going to make everything rainbow. My closet is just like Lisa's. It's light pink, dark pink, navy, white, black, one green sweater, one red sweater. So I really want to have a rainbow closet. I'm going to buy 3 shirts for the fall that are orange. I'm going to buy something yellow so you can have a rainbow in your closet and then you never wear it. But your closet looks cute. So now you've bought things you don't need in order to have an aesthetic that you like, but you don't need the things. You see how both of these systems are either having you add things for a certain aesthetic or reduce things for a certain aesthetic that you're going to. Organization has nothing to do with what it looks like in the end. If you take nothing away from this podcast, organization has nothing to do with what it looks like at the end. I always say I'm not your Pinterest organizer. I'm your functional organizer, because we're not going for a Pinterest look. We're not going for a minimalist look. We're not going for a rainbow look. We're not going for a whatever look that you think you're going for. I want your stuff that you want to have in your house to then inform the kind of decorating you have in that room for whatever stuff you want to store in it. And that is not how organizing is sold to the American population. Organization is sold to the American population based on the containers you're going to use or the lack of items you're going to have in your house when you're done. That's not organizing. It's decorating. So where does that leave us? The last thing I want to say about how Marie Kondo is the Atkins diet of organizing, and the Atkins diet is the beginning of your whatever wellness journey or whatever, is that these things make you believe that this lifestyle change that you're going for is a short-term project that can be done in a weekend or a month. And the reality is, living an organized life, learning the skill of organization, is a lifestyle shift. It is a mental shift. in that you want to put your stuff away at the end of the day and the end of the week because you know where it goes and you have the right amount of things and you like the way it looks when everything is put away. That's organization in a nutshell. You have what you need. Everything has a home. And every once in a while, you put everything back in their home where it belongs. When you're supposed to pick it up and we play the pickup, the cleanup song, you know where to put things away. That's organization. The Sunday basket can give you that same feeling in your calendar, in your routines, in your time, that quick win. But then we quickly in Organize 365 move into the Productive Home Solution or the Friday Workbox, where we really do the mental and physical work of organizing the invisible work that is done at home and work, the physical things that you need to have in this season of life, in this stage of life, in this season of the year. Finding homes for all those things, culling the things you don't need, finding the homes for the things you need, buying things that you don't have that will support you in the season, reorganizing your house for the season of life that you're in. I've lived in my house for 26 years. All of the rooms have been used in many different ways over those 26 years, but it's still the same house. Like, I didn't add on to the house. So thinking through what phase of life are you in now, how can your home best support you, your family in this phase of life versus you trying to make your house look a certain way so that you can get an A for people who are not even coming in your house and looking and the people who are there don't even notice, right? I do it. You do. We do it. We do. I don't know why we do this. You would not be listening to this podcast this long if you don't do this. We are trying to get an A in our houses for a way something looks in someone else's house, which, by the way, it doesn't even look that way. As soon as they stop taking the picture, it gets changed. It's not maintainable. So we're trying to get an A for people who will never be in our house, and the people who live in our house don't even notice what we're trying to do. Why do we do this? So these printables and decluttering challenges and books you read and TV shows that you watch are awesome ways to ignite an inner flame and get you going and get your energy up so that you can really bust through one weekend and really get started. But once you get through that quick burn and once you get through that getting started of getting organized, moving from passive into active organizing, which is what these things are the best for, then you need to fuel yourself for the marathon you're in now. Organizing is not a sprint. It's not a quick weekend. It's not a trip to Target, $200 and you're done. It's not. It's a lifestyle change. It's a learnable skill. It is a skill that takes time to acquire and master and customize for your way of life. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about these four kinds of work that we do at home. What are they? How can we do them better? Where is our time actually going? We're going to talk about hobby work, invisible work, housework, and unique purpose work. I'll see you then.